Jen Bogdan. We're here with the governor, Dr. Alexander Scott, and Director Smiley. We'll take your follow-up question.
The conference is now in talk mode.
I was fascinated by the graphs. This is Michael Blow from Motif. But I had a couple of questions. I was a little bit confused about some of the graphs, and in particular, how the decision was made to draw the two discontinuities at the points where social distancing took effect, closures began to take effect, and then stay-at-home began to take effect. And I understand the point, but it seems to me that's sort of a sigmoid curve that would be expected from any virus with a logistic function. So are the discontinuities artistic choices, or are those, do those have a specific mathematical basis? In other words, are the blue lines and so on, like a 3-month, a 3-day average, or a 7-day average, or exactly where do those discontinuities come from, is what I'm asking.
What slide are you talking about? Slide 1? Slide 2? I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm not exactly sure, but the slide 1, I think, is what I'm talking about, where we see the number of hospitalizations. So there are two points at which, there are three sort of smooth sections, and the three smooth sections are split by two discontinuities where there's a sharp change that's not smooth. That's what I'm at.
Yeah, so this data is of the new hospital admissions, and given the modeling, if we didn't have that first inflection point that you're referring to as a discontinuity, the curve would continue to go up in a way that you don't see reflected here because it flattened to some extent. And so our best estimate when we correlate that inflection point with the steps that we had made 2 weeks prior, knowing the delay that can occur, is to interpret that the flattening occurred as a result of those steps that we made. The same thing happened with the second point. And all we have is our best understanding of the data aligned with the community mitigation steps that we took to see those types of outcomes.
No. I understand the interpretation you're making, and I understand the raw data. My question is, on what basis are you saying that there's a discontinuity in the line that is drawn? Is that an artistic choice, or is that, does that have a clear mathematical basis? What are the criteria for the discontinuities? That's my question.
Yeah, no, it's taking the average of the hospitalized cases that you see in the dots around it and applying the mathematical line that results from the average of those cases around. If the average of those cases were higher, that line would be higher. So it is a mathematical approach.
All right. I'll pursue this via email, I think, because it's too deep in the weeds for right now. So I thank you for the answer, though.
Sure. And while I have the floor, I'll respond to Nancy's question, if she is on, regarding the unfortunate deaths in nursing homes overall. We've had approximately 215, and death in all congregate care settings is approximately 220. And so those additional settings include psychiatric settings, group homes, and senior homes.
So it's 5 that are non-nursing home, but congregate.
Correct.
Okay, thank you so much.
I also want to be able to update that on our website now, we have the additional hospitalized cases in place for those that are currently hospitalized, so that you will see that. We received some late reports, and we are as transparent as we are, so we've been able to update that on the website, and those numbers came through after we had prepared the slides for that was displayed today. So that we say that it's continually evolving and provisional, and here's a good example. So we'll continue to keep it updated as we go. But the numbers overall are still less than yesterday, which is helpful.
Dr. Alexander Scott.
Way that you can give us a little bit of insight into the 4-year-old death division in the data. You're saying that there's about 15 more hospitalizations since it was put up this morning?
Yeah, it's on right now as 333.
What was that initial drop? I mean, why such a wide discrepancy?
We received some later reports of hospitalized cases. It continues to evolve as we go, so we had the number from earlier this morning, and the reports continue to come in through the course of the day.
Doctor, what can you tell us about the 40-year-old unfortunate death? And I've heard from some nurses and doctors that there are people who are having strokes in their 30s, so again, they may not be dying, but they're having life-changing impacts, COVID-19 impact. Can you give us a little bit of insight into, you know, beyond nursing homes and congregate settings, what's the impact that this is having in the severe outcomes, I suppose, death or otherwise, in people who are otherwise healthy in their 30s or 40s or even 50s?
Yeah, we are directly assessing that, particularly for the cases each day as we report them. So we're still looking into the 40-year-old underlying health conditions, whether or not they existed. And our team is directly assessing, both with hospitals as well as with our medical examiners, are we seeing higher numbers of previously healthy people who are passing away with COVID-19 from strokes or other entities? We have not started to see that yet here in Rhode Island, particularly given the numbers that we talked about during the press conference of having our older population more significantly impacted, but we're continuing to assess it regularly because of the concern that's been mentioned nationwide.
And just to follow up on that question, are you seeing, not necessarily the people who are dying, but those who are being hospitalized, people who were ordinarily or did not appear to have any underlying health conditions, who you brought up strokes, but suffering from other types of, that COVID-19 is causing other types of health impacts?
Yeah, most of the people tend to have some form of an underlying condition, but it does relate to being at higher risk from COVID-19, so it's hard to differentiate if someone has cardiovascular disease, as an example, and then get infected with COVID-19 and pass away from a stroke. Hard to pull apart what the definitive cause is, as opposed to COVID-19 sort of pushing someone over their limit and exacerbating some form of an underlying illness. But this is something that we are all still learning about and attempting to understand better.
To follow up on that, Doctor, has Rhode Island attempted to measure comorbidity factors in deaths?
To an extent, yeah. We are assessing each of the deaths to understand what types of underlying illnesses are in existence and what else we can learn about COVID-19 from that.
Is any of that data available?
We're continuing to assess it. I would say that we don't have numbers that are higher than what would happen at baseline without COVID-19, but certainly as we continue to analyze, if we were to, then we would start to make that available.
Let me ask you this, Doctor. In your opinion, based on that, which right now, again, this is, I don't want to hold you to this down the line, but your opinion right now, it's possible for a healthy 30-year-old Rhode Islander who has no pre-existing condition to come into contact with the virus and directly die or have a severe life-changing injury from it. That's true, correct?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately. It's similar to, when you have influenza or some of the other viruses, there are these, tough cases where you have someone who was previously healthy who was then impacted. I do have data that we've had so far and are continuing to update that shows about 19% of all COVID-19 patients did not have any underlying illness, but the remaining
appreciate you answering that.
You're welcome. Do you have that number for death, Director?
Let me look into that and see. I know Joseph is on the phone. If we have it, we'll share it.
Thanks.
Doctor, do you also break out the number of first responders and healthcare workers who are ending up either hospitalized or dying from this?
We do have that for healthcare workers. Of our cases, about 20% of them are actually healthcare workers. We do not have it for a death as of now.
So none of the healthcare workers have died?
Let me confirm, because we have been assessing that based on the small numbers and want to continue to understand whether or not a death from a healthcare worker is because of COVID-19 or someone who died for a different reason with COVID-19. And so we want to make sure that we are clear for that in reporting on healthcare workers.
Okay.
Director, thank you for answering my question on the televised part of the conference regarding excess deaths. But on the second part of the question, there's some thought that in other states, the excess deaths are partly attributable to people simply not seeking medical care for other treatable conditions. Does Rhode Island have any insight on that locally? Or, I mean, I know you've expressed repeatedly that as a concern, but we attempted to measure that.
Yeah, the best approach to that we have as a state is the fact that if someone passes away for unknown causes, or with a death that we need to better understand, it then gets connected to our medical examiner, which is within the Rhode Island Department of Health and our state health laboratories. And those types of cases are ones that we are applying COVID-19 tests to if we feel that it is appropriate. So it allows us to have a sense of the landscape when there is an unfortunate death for a reason that people are wondering.
Got a couple minutes left.
Director, it's you, Sherman, Channel 12. I noticed that today, I think, was the first time that a person under the age of 9 was reported hospitalized. I think yesterday was the first time someone under the age of 19 was reported hospitalized. Can you speak at all or clarify what the situation is surrounding those patients and whether or not there's a concern moving forward that you'll see more underage patients with COVID?
Don't have a concern that we will see more of that necessarily. Yet with our data, we have less than 5 who have been hospitalized between the ages of 0 to 9 and less than 5 who are hospitalized between the ages of 10 and 19. And we are seeing that this virus impacts the older population and those with underlying illnesses more significantly. We also know that certain hospitals in the state are taking the new approach to screen all patients who are in their hospital for COVID-19. They're screening all of their patients for COVID-19 who are in their hospital, including people who may be there for a different reason. And that may contribute to some of the hospitalized cases that we are seeing, including in that younger population.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you.